You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Eric Dye, and welcome to Covestor Radio, a show about money milestones and investing for your future. Today, we are with Kimberly Klaus, private client advocate and chair of Covestor's advisory board. Covestor is an online marketplace for investing. Kimberly, always good to catch up with you, and thanks for joining us once again.
Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome. So let's get started with the basics in general. What should investors be aware of regarding taxation of investments?
So taxes have a huge impact on portfolio returns, and any taxes you pay are separate from investment management fees, commissions, and other transaction costs. For an investor who pays taxes, what matters, it's not gross returns, right? It's not what you earn on your portfolio. It's really what goes into your pocket at the end of the day after all taxes and fees have been paid. And taxes and other fees can have a significant impact. So just here's a data point. So according to a Morningstar study, for the period from 1926 to 2011, a hypothetical stock return of about 10% shrank to around 7.5% after taxes. So think about that, 10% pre-tax, about 7.5% after tax. And for some investors, tax rates are going to be even higher in 2014 than 2013.
Tell us, how is investment income defined?
So investment income is generally any profit that you make from an investment. And this includes interest payments, dividends, and capital gains.
And what are capital gains and losses, and how are those calculated?
So a capital gain is an increase in the value of any capital asset you own. So according to the IRS, you know, your not-so-silent investing partner, a capital asset is almost everything you own for personal purposes or investment purposes. So that includes stocks, bonds, your house, personal property, and collectibles. Today, we're focused on investment assets, so generally speaking, stocks and bonds. You generate a capital gain when you sell an asset at a higher price than the total cost of the investment. So if you purchase an asset for $100 and you sell it for $125, your capital gain is $25. Conversely, if you sell that $100 asset for $75, you'd have a $25 capital loss.
Today we are with Kimberly Klaus, once again, private client advocate and chair of Covestor's advisory board here on Covestor Radio, a show about money milestones and investing for your future here on EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, Kimberly, how is investment income taxed?
So, first of all, I'm going to do a brief shout out to Covestor's compliance department. Covestor does not provide tax advice. We encourage you to discuss your tax situation with a professional. So, for capital gains, the rate depends on two factors. First, how long you hold the asset, and second, your ordinary income tax bracket. So, how long you hold the asset. So, the IRS classifies capital gains as either short-term or long-term. If you hold an asset for at least a year plus a day, profit is considered a long-term capital gain. Short-term capital gains are generated from sales of assets owned for 1 year or less. Now, short-term capital gains are taxed as ordinary income, and that's your regular tax rate, while long-term capital gains are taxed at various rates, and that depends on your federal income tax bracket. So for most investors, dividends and long-term capital gain tax rates are going to stay the same, they're the same rates in 2013 and 2014. But there are some changes. For some investors. So if we just focus on federal taxes, you know, setting state taxes aside, as in the past, so investors in the 10% and 15% tax brackets are going to pay nothing on qualified dividends and long-term capital gains. And those investors who are in the 25, 28, 33, and 35% tax brackets are going to pay 15% on qualified dividends and long-term capital gains. However, for those investors in the top tax bracket, which is 39.6%, they're going to pay 20% capital gains Plus, for certain high-income earners, there's an additional net investment income tax of 3.8%. So for a group of investors, the maximum capital gains tax rate is going to be 23.8%.
And what are the ways that investors, and here's the thing that the listener wants to hear, is what are the ways that investors can minimize their tax burden?
So think about timing. You pay taxes on profits when you sell investments. So it may make sense to delay a sale until a year in which your income is lower so that you might be in a lower tax bracket. It might make sense to delay a sale from December 31st to January 2nd to shift the gain to the following tax year. Another strategy is holding assets for at least a year. Now, there's the saying, you know, don't let the tax tail wave the dog, right? So you don't want to make investment decisions purely based on tax considerations. But absent a compelling reason to sell, from a tax perspective, it is so much better to hold assets for at least a year. And think about it. In the example that we had for that top tax bracket, we were looking at roughly, you know, let's say 24% for long-term capital gains versus roughly 40%, 43% for short-term capital gains. So a day can have that material of an impact. The other thing is to pay attention to asset location. We talk often about asset allocation, which is, you know, what's the appropriate mix of stocks, bonds, and other types of assets. But here I'm talking about asset location. Which assets are better housed, better owned in an account on which you pay taxes versus an account that's tax deferred? And, you know, a common type of tax deferred account is an individual retirement account. So asset location, think very strategically about where should those tax inefficient assets live. And then another strategy is called tax loss harvesting. So the IRS allows investors to use capital losses to offset capital gains as long as you do so in the same tax year. So the idea here is to methodically sell investments to offset realized capital gains. So in the example that I mentioned earlier, that asset that you purchased for $100 that went up to $125, if you sell that, realize a $25 capital gain, and at the same time, that asset that you purchased for $100 that you sell for a $25 loss, you know, if you use that $25 loss to offset your $25 gain, you will have no realized capital gains for the year.
Good information. And in closing, any tips or a thought that you could lend the listeners on today's topic?
Yes, actually two things. So in a given tax year, if your capital losses exceed your capital gains, you can carry forward those capital losses and use them in future years. That's one tip. Another tip, when you're taking losses, be careful though. Be aware of something called the wash sale rule. That's wash sale, sort of a funny term. In essence, if you sell an item for a loss and then buy it or a, quote, substantially identical item within 30 days, you can't immediately claim your loss. Instead, the loss adjusts the purchase price and the holding date on your purchase. And here's what the IRS is trying to do. The IRS is saying, investor, we don't want you to sell an asset, take a loss for tax purposes, and then buy that asset back. You know, from their perspective, they're like, wait a second, you know, why should you get the value of a capital loss? So you cannot sell an asset, recognize a loss, and then buy a substantially similar security within 30 days. And this rule sounds fairly straightforward, but with the proliferation of derivatives, synthetic products, figuring out what is a substantially similar security can be pretty tricky. So again, this is another area where you should consult your tax professional.
Always helpful information, Kimberly, and certainly look forward to having you back with us to share more insights with us on Covestor Radio.
Great. Thank you, Eric. My pleasure.
You're welcome. We've been speaking with, once again, Kimberly Klaus, private client advocate and chair of Covestor's Advisory Board. And we certainly do thank you for joining us on this episode of Covestor Radio, a show about money milestones and investing for your future. And for more information, simply visit Covestor.com. Join us next time for another episode of Covestor Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. And this has been Eric Dye.
This is the ePodcast Network.